Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Iris Bat Bernice, Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Avraham, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Ze Ben Chava, Harab Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects we want to discuss on this week's program, and they're subjects that people are familiar with, but from different angles. We're going to bring out different facts that we maybe didn't put in this type of context before. The first subject is that there are dozens of self-hating Jewish anti-Semites running for Congress, running for the U.S. House of Representatives, and running for the U.S. Senate this year. The election is going to be held in another 2.5 weeks, and dozens of the worst Jewish enemies of Israel and the Jewish people are running for both houses of Congress, and we want to make you aware of that. And the second thing that we're going to be discussing is, what would Israel be like if we had a real Jewish prime minister? If you had a real leader in Israel, a real Jewish leader in Israel, what would Israel be like? What would that turn the state of Israel into? We're going to go into some more detail, hopefully, on that subject. Let's start off, though, with the self-hating Jews running for the Congress. I don't know the exact number. They're probably like 60 or 70 self-hating Jews running for the House and for the Senate in the upcoming elections on November 6th, Tuesday, November 6th. And one recurring theme that we have always repeated for 45 years, for over 45 years that I've been involved in the Kahanist movement, one recurring theme is never vote for the Jewish candidate. If you love Israel and you love the Jewish people, do not vote for the Jewish candidate, because Jewish candidates outside of Israel, first of all, should not be running. We have no business running for political office outside of Israel. Israel is our homeland. We have no business wanting to be in the United States or anywhere. It's a sin for us to be outside of Israel, first of all, and to hold political office and identify ourselves with countries other than Israel is compounding the sin far more. But aside, even above and beyond that, the Jewish candidates that run, 99.9% of them, are self-hating Jews who do terrible harm to the cause of Israel and the Jewish people. Let me give you some examples. Chuck Schumer is the Senate Minority Leader. He's the head of the Democrats in the United States Senate, Chuck Schumer. There are 49 Democrats and 51 Republicans in the Senate right now. And their leader is Chuck Schumer, the senator from New York. Now, he's not running for re-election this year, but he's an example of the type of self-hating Jews that you have in political office. And why all of these insane, sick Jewish organizations, Jewish PACs and Jewish organizations that are so anxious to elect more Jews. Oh, if we put more Jews in office, then it's going to be good. And they call themselves pro-Israel PACs. I mean, they're anti-Israel PACs. The worst nightmare is to put more Jews in office. Jewish politicians, Jewish judges, Jewish actors and actresses and Hollywood directors and Jews in the media are the worst enemies of their own people. They do not work to benefit the Jews or to benefit Israel. The opposite. They're embarrassed and ashamed to be Jewish. They run away from their Jewishness. They want to destroy their own people. They're the most hostile, evil enemies of Israel and of the Jewish people. A self-hating Jew is worse than the worst Gentile anti-Semite. A self-hating Jew does more damage than the most evil Gentile anti-Semite. Chuck Schumer is an example. This is someone who, of course, takes the left-wing anti-Jewish position on every issue, positions that are all against the Torah on every issue, anti-Israel, anti-Jewish position. And he cried. He held a press conference with Muslim illegal aliens. And he cried that the Muslims are not being let into the United States. He cried for the Muslims because he wants more Muslims to be allowed into the United States. He actually cried for the Muslims at the press conference. This is the same schmuck Schumer who supports the Democrat Party and is one of the leaders of the Democrat Party nationally. He's the head of the Democrats in the U.S. Senate. So he's one of the biggest leaders of the Democrat Party nationally. This is the Democrat Party under Franklin Delano Roosevelt that murdered over 6 million Jewish men, women, and children in the Holocaust. Franklin Delano Roosevelt and the Democrat Party knowingly closed the doors of the United States to Jews who were trying to escape Nazi-occupied Europe, supported the British blockade of the land of Israel so Jews couldn't escape to the land of Israel. In other words, they blocked off and prevented the Jews from escaping. They refused also, the United States Air Force, the British Air Force, had complete mastery over the skies of Europe. They could have destroyed the Nazi concentration camps, the Nazi murder machinery, the rail lines that were leading millions of Jews to their death. They could have destroyed all of that. And they would have sent a clear signal to the German leadership that this won't be tolerated, because the Germans tested everything before they did it. They tested to see, will they get away with what they're doing to the Jews? Will they be able to get away with it? Will the world tolerate it? And Roosevelt and Churchill and all of these leaders clearly sent the signal, yes, the world is happy that you're murdering the Jews and we won't touch you. They refused. The U.S. Air Force and the British Air Force were ordered not to touch the rail lines leading to the death camps, leading the Jews on cattle cars to the death camps. And in fact, the only roads in Nazi-occupied Europe that weren't bombed by the U.S. Air Force, the only roads that the U.S. Air Force did not bomb were the roads that were used to lead the Jews to their slaughter. They were the only roads in all of Europe, because this was something that Roosevelt wanted to see happen. He hated the Jews, and Churchill hated the Jews, and the self-hating Jews in London and in Paris, and Paris eventually was occupied by the Nazis, but in London and in New York and in Washington, the self-hating Jews also wanted millions of their brothers and sisters to be murdered rather than save them. And then the anti-Semites would say, oh, you went to war just to save the Jews. That's what they were worried about. They were worried that if we intervene and if we save the Jews, then they're going to claim we went to war just to save the Jews. That's what they were worried about, what the anti-Semites will say. They didn't give a damn about millions of Jews being murdered, millions of their brothers and sisters being burned and gassed and slaughtered in the worst atrocities in human history. That didn't bother them in the least. They did nothing. They didn't lift a finger to save the 6 million when Ben Hecht and Peter Berkson and a handful of Jewish activists were trying to arouse the world on this issue. In the one organization, there was one organization that was trying, and one group that was trying to do something, the Hollywood Jews and the news media Jews and the New York Nazi Times Jews and the Jewish politicians. Governor Herbert Lehman of New York, Mayor Fiorella LaGuardia, who was Jewish, by the way, his mother was Jewish, of New York, the Secretary of the Treasury, Morgenthau, Roosevelt's main advisors, most of them were Jews. All these powerful people who could easily have created a protest that would have guaranteed that the Holocaust would never have happened. They never said a word. They refused to say a word. In fact, they did the opposite. They did everything they could to suppress the news and make it possible for the Holocaust to continue. And that's no exaggeration. They were so worried that if the Jews are saved, that all these Jews from Poland, all these religious Jews, are gonna come, maybe they'll come to New York, they'll embarrass us, they'll speak Yiddish, they'll embarrass us. Look at them, they're religious, they're this. It's terrible. We don't want them saved. And they were terrified. Oh, and then if we save them again, the anti-Semites, they're going to say that that America went to war just to save the Jews. This is what was worrying these animals, these beasts. Yimach Shmam V'Zichram Shem Reshaim Yirkav. The Anti-Defamation League, the American Jewish Congress, the American Jewish Committee, AIPAC, the UJA Federation, all of them are guilty. The blood of over 6 million Jews is on their hands. And Schmuck Schumer, one of the leaders of the party, the Democrat Party, under which their leadership, this Holocaust was perpetrated, they murdered those 6 million Jews. Schmuck Schumer would never cry over the 6 million, but cries over Muslims. Muslim illegal aliens, he cried over the enemies of the Jewish people that want to destroy the Jewish people, whose religion teaches them to destroy all non-Muslim infidels, and particularly the Yahud, the Jew, particularly the hatred of the Quran for the Jew. and Schmuck Schumer cries over them while supporting the party that murdered 6 million of his own people and that has done everything since Israel's creation to destroy Israel. Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, all of them, Barack Hussein Obama, have done everything they could to undermine and destroy little Israel and perpetrate another Holocaust against the Jewish people. And Schmuck Schumer is behind them and supported them 1,000%. That's the type of leaders we have. That's the type of self-hating scum we have as leaders that call themselves Jewish leaders. If a law was passed that Jews could never run for political office in the United States, you'd be doing the big... Anyone who would pass such a law would be doing the biggest favor in the world for the Jewish people. In Florida, Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Yimash Mava Zichra, that ugly beast, she was the head of the Democrat Party. This evil beast, now she's running all around Florida campaigning for a black anti-Semite who's running for governor in Florida, Andrew Gillum, who supports the BDS movement, whose running mate for lieutenant governor is an anti-Semite who's made many anti-Semitic remarks. When anything bad happened to him in life, he blamed the Jews for it. That's his running mate for lieutenant governor. And Andrew Gillum surrounds himself with the worst anti-Semites. He's a Farrakhan supporter and admirer, and he surrounds himself only with the worst anti-Semites. And she's running all around the state, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, going to Jewish voters campaigning for this anti-Semite. Just like she campaigned for Obama, just like she campaigned for Hillary Clinton, just like she campaigned for Bill Clinton and for Jimmy Carter and for every other anti-Semite. She's a congresswoman, and she's going to get reelected with the overwhelming majority of all the Jewish voters. They're going to vote for her. After all, she's a fellow Jew. She's a fellow Jew, after all. Tennessee Congressman Steve Cohen, another example. This is an example of the type of Jews we have in Congress. Steve Cohen from Tennessee. He represents a district that's 90% black. He supports Farrakhan, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Barack Hussein Obama. You know how he gets reelected in a district that's overwhelmingly black, this white Jewish guy? How does he get reelected? He's more pro-black than the black leaders running. He's so militantly pro-black that he's more pro-black than the black leaders running and is so anti-Israel and so anti-Jewish and so committed to hurting Israel and hurting the Jewish people, never stops attacking and condemning Israel. That's Tennessee Congressman Steve Cohen. And where does his money come from? All the Jews give him. His name is Cohen. How could he be banned? Max Rose is running for Congress in Staten Island and in parts of Brooklyn. There's a district that covers all of Staten Island, parts of Brooklyn in New York City. And Max Rose is the Democrat candidate, left-wing Democrat candidate running there. Another self-hating Jew who deformed. He was a member of the Deformed Temple. He worked for all the black anti-Semites. He worked to help them with their anti-poverty program. Never lifted a finger or did a thing for his fellow Jews. Never. Never did a thing for his fellow Jews, only to hurt his fellow Jews. He supports all the anti-Semites like Obama and all the other enemies of the Jewish people he supports. De Blasio, Obama, all the anti-Semites on the left he supports. And this leftist, deformed piece of garbage, he's running for Congress against someone named Donovan, an Irish congressman. I don't care anything about Donovan. I'm not interested. He's a Irish Republican congressman. You should support Donovan. If you could vote for him with 10 hands, if you could vote for him 10 times, you should vote. It would be good if you could vote 10 times, or you can only vote once, after all. We're not allowed to vote more than once. Only certain types of people can vote more than once. We're not allowed to vote more than once. But Max Rose is running. Another example. In Maine, you have someone named Jared Golden, intermarried leftist Democrat. Just an example. I'm just taking examples. In Maine, intermarried leftist Democrat supports all the enemies of the Jewish people. Never would lift a finger to help a fellow Jew. On the contrary, will bend over backwards to be hostile to Israel and the Jewish people to prove that they're not loyal to the Jews. Don't call me a Jew. I'm not a Jew. I'm a human being. That's Democrats. What about the Republican, the Jewish Republicans? Just as bad. Just as bad. Michigan. You got a Republican named Lena Epstein. She's intermarried. She's assimilated. She has a wealthy oil inheritance. She's loaded. She's fashtup mit Geld. Loaded. Do you think she would ever do anything for her fellow Jews? Never once in her lifetime is there any indication she's ever done a single thing for her fellow Jews. Everything she does is to enrich herself and advance herself. And again, intermarried, assimilated, you know that's not going to be good for the Jewish people. Having that type of person representing the Jewish people. I'm just giving you some examples. There are so many, I mean, I could go on. We've given you in past shows other examples of the other people running, all the other people running. By the way, everybody that I found that was married here, they all seem to be intermarried. At least the ones I found, all of them, every single one of them seems to be intermarried except for one that I found so far. Maybe there are a couple that I haven't come across yet that aren't intermarried, but I looked at about a dozen of them so far. I looked at just about a dozen of them at random, and all of them were intermarried, except for one. I found one that isn't intermarried that we mentioned on a prior show, Congressman Jared Polis. He's not intermarried. No. He's a Jew. He's a congressman. He's running for governor of Colorado. He's not intermarried. He's married to a fellow Jew. Another man. Yes. Yes. He and another man are married to each other. That's the great representative we have out in Colorado, and he's the front runner, according to the polls, to be elected governor of Colorado. What a chilul Hashem, what a desecration of God's name. God's people who are supposed to represent morality and the Bible and God's laws, and this is what they're representing? If there's a Jewish candidate, vote against them. Now, in some cases, you've got I saw examples of real nightmare, like Zeldin, who's running in the first congressional district in New York and out in Suffolk County. He's running with his Puerto Rican wife, and he's the Republican, and he's running, and the candidate run against, and the Democrat is also a self-hating Jew. So there, you got no way out. Both of the candidates are self-hating Jews. There, you got a real nightmare. What a terrible situation! Do not vote for the Jewish candidate. That's our number one theme going into the November 6th elections. Don't vote for the Jewish candidate. If you love Israel and if you love the Jewish people, that is. The second subject we want to speak about is, what if Moshe Feiglin were the Prime Minister of Israel, or if you had a truly Jewish Prime Minister of Israel? What would Israel be like if you had a real Jewish leader in Israel? Well, for one thing, think of the economy. Did you know that in Israel, they have an economy that is very healthy and prosperous and going very strong, and yet you work for less? An Israeli, for instance, who would do the same job as an American, earns less than the American, pays higher taxes, earns less, gets a lower salary, pays higher taxes, and then his expenses are higher. He goes to the supermarket, or he goes to purchase some other item in the store, or he goes to buy a house. Anything he purchases, he pays more for everything. His taxes are much higher, and he earns less, and he works longer hours, even though the economy in Israel is booming and has been very healthy for quite a few years, thanks to Jewish brain power, to the Jewish technology boom in Israel. Now, you may wonder, how could that be? How is it that a Jew in Israel pays so much more? For instance, if you want to buy a car in Israel, it's much more expensive. The same car that you would want to buy in the United States in Israel is much more expensive. Why is that? Why is everything in the supermarket, just grocery items you want to buy, just essentials that you need to live, all much more expensive? Gas at the pump in Israel, much more expensive. Why is that? Why? Because you have socialism. A socialist bureaucracy and corruption. And Bibi Netanyahu and the Likud party have continued that system of corruption. Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut party would eliminate it, would lower taxes, get rid of the regulation, eliminate socialism and create a true free market economy. Do you know what would happen, what that would unleash? Do you have any idea what Jewish brain power is? Do you have any idea what the Jews have contributed to society, Jewish brains have contributed to society? 28% of the Nobel Prize winners for science, for scientific discovery, 28% are Jewish, when the Jews are 0.2% of the world's population. 0.2% of the world's population. And 28% of the Nobel Prize winners. That's so out of proportion and so crazy. I mean, it's just, that means that the Jews, I mean, figure this out for a second. That means that the Jews are outperforming themselves so vastly, hundreds of times beyond their numbers. If you had concentrated in the Jewish state with all the Jewish brains you have in Israel, and you have some brilliant people in Israel, but they're suppressed by the socialist system. If you had in the Jewish state a true free market, Israel would become the wealthiest country per capita in the world by far. By far. Nobody would even come close. Israel would become Gan Eden. Gan Eden means the Garden of Eden in Hebrew. It would be like paradise. So, one thing we would have is tremendous prosperity. We would have prosperity and Shefa. Shefa means abundance because of Jewish brains, because of the Jewish technological advantage. Just look at everything. I mean, even though they're self-hating Jews. Who created Facebook? Jews. Google? Jews. Who runs YouTube now? Jews. I could go on and on. It's just such a tiny group of people that have unbelievable talent and power that gives them incredible influence and power. It's just incredible. Can you imagine if all of that were concentrated in one country, Israel, and they had their power was finally unleashed by a true free market system? Can you imagine what that would lead to? Demography. If you had a true Jewish prime minister and the Arabs were out, millions of Arabs were leaving. They were being compensated, but they were leaving. And Jews were settling throughout Judea and Samaria. Do you know what a paradise Israel would turn into? Without the terrorist danger and the security threats and all the other threats. Do you know what Israel would look like? In education. Can you imagine an Israel where you had a truly free and competitive education system, which is what Moshe Feiglin proposes creating, a privatized, voucherized education system? Do you know what geniuses Israel would create? I mean, look at the countries the Jews were in. The Jews were in countries like Poland, a godforsaken, horrible, nasty country full of drunks and anti-Semites. Terrible. And even in that horrible place, Polish Jews are geniuses. You know how much was contributed to the world by Polish Jewish brains? Can you imagine in Israel, in the land of Israel, if you concentrated education and had a truly privatized and voucherized education system there, what Jewish geniuses you would produce? How good this would be for the world? They would be discovering cures for cancer and cures for heart disease and just all types of technological advances. Probably energy, in the energy field, probably they'd be finding advances that would probably put the Arabs out of business when it comes to oil. And just incredible. And the political freedom you would have in Israel if you had a truly Jewish prime minister. Kahanist ideas would finally be allowed. I would be allowed to make aliyah. And we would be allowed to speak freely and say things that are politically incorrect. Then we could become a light unto the nations, a holy nation and a nation of priests. Because the laws and the truth of the Bible is politically incorrect. And if we would be allowed to speak the politically incorrect truths to Israel and to the world, then we would have a chance of fulfilling our true role that God has destined for his people. And no foreign aid. We'd have no foreign aid. Israel would be truly independent. Israel does not need the $3 billion or $3 billion that it gets from the United States every year, all of which it has to spend on American weapons and in the United States, all of which hurts Israel's economy, in every way hurts Israel's economy, is bad for Israel's economy, ties and shackles Israel's economy. The worst situation the so-called foreign aid is the worst disaster for Israel. You know what weapons Israel could build if Israel was not getting U.S. foreign aid and was not, and U.S. and the U.S. didn't have veto power over Israeli technology advances? You have any idea what Jewish brains could create? And yes, this would be a much better world if all of that happened. And the Jews would finally be creating a state that they were intended to create, a state that would be a light unto the nations and an example, certainly for the Western world and eventually for the whole world. And so we work to try to wake people up. Our advertising campaign in Israel now has over, last time I checked, over 127,000 views, Baruch Hashem, thank God, over 127,000 views. And advertising campaign is maybe 2 months old. And so we're basically doing about 60,000 views a month, which is about 1% of Israel has 6 million Jews. So that's about 1% of Israel's population. About 1% of Israeli Jews are seeing our commercials, our advertisements every month. About 1% we're reaching. Help us to reach people with the truth that you're hearing on this program. You don't hear this anywhere else, and certainly the Jews of Israel don't hear this anywhere else. We need the truth to be brought to people because we want to be a light unto the nations, a holy nation, and a nation of priests. And that's the real reason why you're in this world. You're in this world to make this a better world. You're in this world to influence things for the better. Yes, you're in this world to help yourself and to help your family. In every way you can, you should help yourself and support your family, and that's very important, and that does come first in everyone's life. You first got to help your family and yourself. But in addition to that, you have to help your fellow Jews. And if you're a righteous Gentile, you have to help the Jewish people or God's program for the Jewish people in the land of Israel. You have to be an idealist, and you have to do what's right. In this week's parasha, Avraham Avinu, we are introduced to Avraham Avinu, Abraham, our father. The difference between Avraham and Noach, Noah, is that Noah was building the ark because he knew the flood was going to come. He knew there was going to be a flood. There was going to be a natural disaster to punish the world for all the evil in the world. But he didn't go out and preach, and he didn't go out and try to change people. Avraham was the first one after 20 generations. Avraham, after 20 generations of evil, Avraham was the first one to go out and try to change people. He didn't just know the truth himself and keep it like a little club of people who know the truth and forget about everybody else. He went out and he tried to change people and tried to let everybody know the truth and tried to spread the truth all over the world because he cared about other people. He cared about his fellow human beings. And because of that, he became the father of the Jewish people. And from him, he became the first Jew and the father of the Jewish people. And from him will come the nation, Israel, that will be the light unto the nations and that will teach the whole world that there is a God and that all of us have a higher calling. We all have something more important in life than just our own little concerns and certainly our own material concerns. We have a much higher calling in life and a much higher purpose. And when we recognize that purpose and live an idealistic life, then we're living a life with true meaning. If this is a message you want the Jews of Israel to hear, you're in the right place, because this is the message we're bringing them. And every week now we're averaging 15,000 views a week, and we hope that we're going to influence things as we reach more and more people with this message. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.